After the party, everyone thanked me because they said it was the perfect music. Craig said that I should be a DJ to make money while I was still in school, just like he does modeling. I thought that was a good idea. Maybe I could save up a lot of money, so I would be able to go to college, even if something like the Rotary Club or Moose Lodge didn't come through. My brother said recently on the phone that if he makes it to the pros, I don't have to worry about my college money at all. He said he'd take care of it. I can't wait to see my brother. He's coming home for my sister's graduation, which is so nice. Love always, Charlie. June 9th, 1992. Dear friend, it is now prom night, and I am sitting in my room. Yesterday was difficult because I didn't know anybody since all my friends and my sister were no longer in school. The worst was lunchtime because it reminded me of when everyone was angry with me for Mary Elizabeth. I couldn't even eat my sandwich, and my mom made my favorite because I think she knew how sad I would be with everyone gone. The halls seemed different, and the juniors were acting different because they are now the seniors. They even had t-shirts made. I don't know who plans these things. All I could think about is the fact that Sam is leaving in 2 weeks to go to Penn State, and Mary Elizabeth is going to be busy with her guy, and my sister is going to be busy with hers, and Alice and I aren't that close. I know Patrick will be around, but I'm afraid that maybe since he isn't sad, he won't want to spend time with me. I know that's wrong in my head, but it feels that way sometimes. So then, the only person I would have to talk to would be my psychiatrist. And I don't like the idea of that right now because he keeps asking me questions about when I was younger, and they're starting to get weird. I'm just lucky that I have so much schoolwork and don't have a lot of time to think. All I hope is that tonight is great for the people whom it's supposed to be great for. My sister's boyfriend showed up in his Buick, and he was wearing a white tails coat over a black suit, which looked wrong for some reason. His cummerbund, I don't know how to spell this, matched my sister's dress, which was powder blue and low cut. It reminded me of those magazines. I have to stop spinning out like this. Okay. All I hope is that my sister feels beautiful, and her new guy makes her feel beautiful. I hope that Craig doesn't make Sam feel that her prom isn't special just because he's older. I hope the same for Mary Elizabeth with Peter. I hope Brad and Patrick decide to make up and dance in front of the whole school, and that Alice is secretly a lesbian and in love with Brad's girlfriend Nancy, and vice versa, so nobody feels left out. I hope the DJ is as good as everyone said I was last Friday, and I hope everyone's pictures turn out great and never become old photographs and nobody gets in a car accident. That is what I really hope. Love always, Charlie. June 10th, 1992. Dear friend, I just got home from school and my sister is still asleep from the after-prom party the school organized. I called over to Patrick and Sam's, but they're still asleep too. Patrick and Sam have a cordless phone which always runs out of batteries, and Sam's mom sounded like a mom in the Peanuts cartoons. Wah, wah, wah. I had two finals today. One in biology, which I think I got a perfect in, the other in Bill's class. The final was about the Great Gatsby. The only thing hard about it was the fact that he had me read the book so long ago, and it was difficult to remember. After I handed in the final, I asked Bill if he wanted me to write an essay about the Fountainhead, since I told him that I'd finished it, and he hadn't told me to do anything. He said that it wouldn't be fair to have me write another essay when I have so many finals this week. Instead, he invited me over to his townhouse to spend Saturday afternoon with his girlfriend and him, which sounds like fun. So, on Friday I will go to Rocky Horror, then on Saturday I will go over to Bill's townhouse. Then on Sunday I will watch everyone graduate and spend time with my brother and all the family because of my sister. Then I'll probably go to Sam and Patrick's to celebrate their graduating. Then I'll have 2 more days of school, which doesn't make sense because all my finals will be over, but they have some activities planned. At least that's what I've heard. The reason I'm thinking so far in advance is because school is terribly lonely. I think I've said that before, but it's getting harder every day. I've 2 finals tomorrow, history and typing. Then, on Friday, I have finals in all my other classes like gym and shop. I don't know if there will be actual finals in these classes, especially shop. I think Mr. Callahan will just play some of his old records for us. He did that when we were supposed to have a midterm, too. But it won't be the same without Patrick lip-syncing. Incidentally, I got a perfect on my math final last week. Love always, Charlie. June 13th, 1992. Dear friend, I just got home from Bill's house. I would have written to you about last night this morning, but I had to go to Bill's. Last night, Craig and Sam broke up. It was very sad to watch. In the past few days, I have heard a lot about the prom, and thanks to those 24-hour film places, I've seen what everyone looked like. Sam looked beautiful. Patrick looked handsome. Mary Elizabeth Alice, Mary Elizabeth's boyfriend, all looked great too. The only thing is that Alice wore white stick deodorant with a strapless dress and it showed. I don't think that kind of thing matters, but supposedly Alice was paranoid about it all night. Craig looked handsome as well, but he wore a suit instead of a tux. That's not why they broke up. Actually, the prom was supposed to be very nice. The limo was really great, and the limo driver got everyone stoned, which made the very expensive food taste even better. His name was Billy. The prom's music came from this really bad cover band called the Gypsies of the Allegheny. But the drummer was good, so everyone had a nice time dancing. Patrick and Brad didn't even look at each other, but Sam said Patrick was really okay about it. After the prom, my sister and her boyfriend went to the after-prom party the school organized. It was at this popular dance club downtown. She said that it was really fun with everyone all dressed up and dancing to good music played by a DJ instead of the Gypsies of the Allegheny. They even had a comedian who did impersonations. The only thing was that once you went in, you couldn't leave and come back. I guess the parents thought that it would keep the kids out of trouble. But nobody seemed to mind. They were having too much fun. And enough people smuggled in liquor anyway. After the party, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and everyone went to the big boy for pancakes or bacon. I asked Patrick how he liked the after-prom party, and he said that it was a lot of fun. He said that Craig had rented a hotel suite for all of them, but only Craig and Sam went. Actually, Sam wanted to go to the after-prom party the school organized, too, but Craig got really angry because he had already paid for the hotel suite. That's not why they broke up. It happened yesterday at Craig's house after Rocky Horror. Like I said, Mary Elizabeth's boyfriend Peter is good friends with Craig, and he kinda stepped into the middle of things. I guess he really likes Mary Elizabeth a lot, and has grown to like Sam quite a bit, because he's the one who brought it up. Nobody even suspected. Basically, Craig had been cheating on Sam ever since they started going out, and when I say cheat, I don't mean he got drunk once and fooled around with one girl and felt bad about it. There were several girls, several times, drunk and sober, and I guess he never felt bad. The reason Peter didn't say anything at first was the fact that he didn't know anybody, and he didn't know Sam. He just thought she was this dumb high school girl because that's what Craig always told him. Anyway, after he got to know Sam, Peter kept telling Craig that Craig had to tell her the truth because she wasn't just some dumb high school girl. Craig kept promising he would, but he never did it. There was always some excuse. Craig called them reasons. I don't want to ruin the prom for her. I don't want to ruin graduation for her. I don't want to ruin the show for her. Then, finally, Craig said there was no point telling her anything at all. She was about to go away to college anyway. She would find a new guy. He was always safe about other girls. There was nothing to worry about in that way. And why not just let Sam remember the whole experience in a good way? Because he really liked Sam and didn't want to hurt her feelings. Peter went along with this logic, even though he thought it was wrong. At least, that's what he said. But then, after the show yesterday, Craig told him that he fooled around with yet another girl the afternoon of the prom. That's when Peter told Craig that if Craig didn't say something to Sam, he would. Well, Craig didn't say anything, and Peter still didn't think it was his business. But then he overheard Sam at the party. She was talking to Mary Elizabeth about how Craig might be the one, and how she was trying to think of ways to keep it going long distance while she was at school. Letters, phone calls, vacations, and breaks. That was it for Peter. He went up to Craig and said, "You tell her something now, or I tell her everything." So, Craig pulled Sam into his bedroom. They were in there for a while. Then, Sam walked from the bedroom straight out the front door, silently sobbing. Craig didn't run after her. That was probably the worst part. Not that he should have tried to get back together with her, but I think he should have run after her anyway. All I know is that Sam was devastated. Mary Elizabeth and Alice went after her to make sure she was okay. I would have gone too, but Patrick grabbed my arm to stay. He wanted to know what was going on, I guess. Or maybe he figured Sam would be better off with female company. I'm glad that we stayed, though, because I think our presence prevented a pretty violent fight between Craig and Peter. Because we were there, all they really did was scream at each other. That's where I heard most of the details I'm writing to you about. Craig would say, "Fuck you, Peter! Fuck you!" And Peter would say, "Don't blame me that you fucked around on her since the beginning. The afternoon of her prom? You're just a bastard, you hear me? A fucking bastard!" Things like that. When it looked like things were going to get violent, Patrick stepped between the two, and with my help got Peter out of the apartment. When we got outside, the girls were gone. So Patrick and I got into Patrick's car and drove Peter home. He was still seething, so he vented about Craig. That's where I heard the rest of the details I'm writing to you about. Finally, we dropped Peter off and he made us promise to make sure Mary Elizabeth didn't think he was cheating on her because he wasn't. He just didn't want to be found guilty by association with that prick. We promised, and he went into his apartment building. Patrick and I weren't sure how much Craig actually told Sam. We both hoped he gave her a soft version of the truth. Enough to make her stay away, but not enough to make her doubt everything about everything. Maybe it's better to know the whole truth. I honestly don't know. So, we just made a pact that we wouldn't tell her unless we found out that Craig made it sound like nothing big and Sam was ready to forgive him. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope Craig told her enough to make her stay away. We drove around to all the places where we thought we might find the girls, but we couldn't find them. Patrick figured they were probably just driving around trying to let Sam cool off a bit. So Patrick dropped me at home. He said he'd call me tomorrow when he heard anything. I remember going to sleep last night, and I realized something. Something that I think is important. I realized that throughout the course of the evening, I wasn't happy about Craig and Sam breaking up. Not at all. I never once thought that it would mean Sam might start liking me. All I cared about was the fact that Sam got really hurt. And I guess I realized at that moment that I really did love her. Because there was nothing to gain, and that didn't matter. It was hard walking up the steps to Bill's townhouse that afternoon, because I didn't receive a phone call all morning from Patrick, and I was so worried about Sam. I called on the phone, but nobody was there. Bill looks different without a suit. He was wearing his old graduate school t-shirt, which was brown. The school, not the color. His girlfriend was wearing sandals and a nice flowered dress. She even had hair under her arms. No kidding. They looked very happy together, and I was glad for Bill. Their house didn't have a lot of furniture in it, but it was very comfortable. They had a lot of books, which I spent about a half an hour asking them about. There was also a picture of Bill and his girlfriend when they were at Brown together in graduate school. Bill had very long hair then. Bill's girlfriend made lunch while Bill made the salad. I just sat in the kitchen drinking a ginger ale and watching them. The lunch was a spaghetti dish of some sort, because Bill's girlfriend doesn't eat meat. Bill doesn't eat meat either now. The salad did have imitation bacon bits, though, because bacon is the only thing they both miss. They had a really nice collection of jazz records, and they kept playing them all through lunch. After a while, they broke open a bottle of white wine and gave me another ginger ale. Then we started talking. Bill asked me about the fountainhead, and I told him, making sure that I was a filter. Then, he asked me about how I liked my first year of high school, and I told him, making sure that I included all the stories in which I participated. Then, he asked me about girls, and I told him how I really loved Sam, and how I wondered what the lady who wrote The Fountainhead would say about how I came to realize that I loved her. After I finished, Bill got very quiet. He cleared his throat. Charlie? I want to thank you. Why? I said. Because it has been a wonderful experience teaching you. Oh. I'm glad. I didn't know what else to say. Then, Bill took this really long pause and his voice sounded like my dad when he wants to have a big talk. Charlie, he said, do you know why I gave you all that extra work? I shook my head no. That look on his face, it made me quiet. Charlie, do you know how smart you are? I just shook my head no again. He was talking for real. It was strange. Charlie, you're one of the most gifted people I've ever known. And I don't mean in terms of my other students, I mean in terms of anyone I've ever met. That's why I gave you the extra work. I was wondering if you were aware of that. I guess so. I don't know. I felt really strange. I didn't know where this was coming from. I just wrote some essays. Charlie, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I just want you to know that you are very special. And the only reason I'm telling you is that I don't know if anyone else ever has. I looked up at him, and then I didn't feel strange. I felt like I wanted to cry. He was being so nice to me, and the way his girlfriend looked, I knew that this meant a lot to him, and I didn't know why it did. So, when the school year ends, and I'm not your teacher anymore, I want you to know that if you ever need anything, or want to know about more books, or want to show me anything you write, or anything, you can always come to me as a friend. I do consider you a friend, Charlie. I started crying a little bit. I actually think his girlfriend was too, but Bill wasn't. He looked very solid. I just remember wanting to hug him, but I've never done that before, and I guess Patrick and girls in my family don't count. I didn't say anything for a while because I didn't know what to say. So finally, I just said, "You're the best teacher I have ever had." And he said, "Thank you." And that was that. Bill didn't try to make sure that I would see him next year if I needed anything. He didn't ask me why I was crying. He just let me hear what he had to say in my own way and let things be. That was probably the best part. After a few minutes, it was time for me to leave. I don't know who decides these things. It just happens. So, we went to the door, and Bill's girlfriend hugged me goodbye, which was very nice considering I didn't know her except for today. Then Bill extended his hand and I took it, and we shook hands, and I even sneaked in a quick hug before I said goodbye. When I was driving home, I just thought about the word special. And I thought the last person who said that about me was my Aunt Helen. I was very grateful to have heard it again. Because I guess we all forget sometimes. And I think everyone is special in their own way. I really do. My brother gets home tonight, and everyone's graduation is tomorrow. Patrick still hasn't called. I called him, but no one was home again. So I decided to go out and buy everyone their graduation presents. I really haven't had time to do that until now. Love always, Charlie. June 16th, 1992. Dear friend, I just rode home on the bus. It was the last day of school for me today, and it was raining. When I do ride the bus, I usually sit toward the middle because I've heard sitting in the front is for nerds, and sitting in the back is for squids, and the whole thing makes me nervous. I don't know what they call squids in other schools. Anyway, today I decided to sit in the front with my legs over the whole seat, kind of like I was lying down with my back to the window. I did this so I could look back at the other kids on the bus. I'm glad school buses don't have seat belts, or else I wouldn't have been able to do it. The one thing I noticed was how different everyone looked. When we were all little, we used to sing songs on the bus ride home from the last day of school. The favorite song was a Pink Floyd song, I found out later, called Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2. But there was this other song we loved even more, because it ended with a swear. It went like this. No more pencils, no more books, no more teachers' dirty looks. When the teacher rings the bell, drop your books and run like hell. When we finished, we looked at the bus driver for a tense second. Then, we all laughed because we knew we could get in trouble for swearing, but the strength of our numbers would prevent any retribution. We were too young to know that the bus driver didn't care about our song, that all he wanted to do was go home after work, and maybe sleep off the drinks he had at lunch. Back then, it didn't matter. The nerds and the squids were one. My brother came home Saturday night, and he looked even more different than the kids on the school bus looked compared to the beginning of the year. He had a beard. I was so happy. He also smiled different and was more courteous. We all sat down to dinner, and everyone asked him questions about college. Dad asked about football. Mom asked about classes. I asked for all the fun stories. My sister asked nervous questions about what college is really like, and would she put on the freshman 15. I don't know what this is, but I'm guessing it means you get fatter. I was expecting my brother to just talk and talk about himself for a long time. He would do that whenever there was a big game in high school or the prom or something. But he seemed a lot more interested in what we were all doing, especially my sister with her graduation. So, while they were talking, I suddenly remembered the TV news sports man and what he said about my brother. I got so excited, and I told my whole family, and this is what happened as a result. My dad said, "Hey, how about that?" My brother said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I talked to him." My brother said, "Did he say something good?" My father said, "Any press is good press." I don't know where my father learns these things. My brother kept going, "What did he say?" I said, "Well, I think he said that college sports puts a lot of pressure on the students who do them." My brother kept nodding. "But he said that it built character. And he said that Penn State was looking really good with their recruitment. And he mentioned you." My dad said, "Hey, how about that?" My brother said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I talked to him." My brother said, "When did you talk to him?" I said, "A couple weeks ago." And then I froze, because I suddenly remembered the other part. The fact that I met the man in the park at night, and the fact that I gave him one of my cigarettes, and the fact that he was trying to pick me up. I just sat there hoping it would go away, but it didn't. "Where did you meet him, honey?" my mom asked. The room turned pins and needles quiet, and I did my best impersonation of myself when I can't remember something, and here's what's going on inside my head. Okay, he came to school to have a talk with the class. No, my sister would know it was a lie. I met him at the big boy. He was with his family. No, my dad would scold me for bothering the poor man. He said it on a newscast. No, but I said I talked to him. Wait. In the park. I was there with Patrick, I said. My dad said, was he there with his family? Did you bother the poor man? No, he was alone. That was enough for my dad and everybody else, and I didn't even have to lie. Luckily, the attention was turned off me when my mother said what she likes to say when we're all together celebrating something. Who's in the mood for ice cream? Everyone was except for my sister. I think she was worried about the freshman 15. The next morning started early. I still hadn't heard from Patrick or Sam or anybody, but I knew I would see them at graduation, so I tried not to worry too much. All my relatives, including my dad's family from Ohio, came to the house around 10 a.m. The two families really don't like each other, except for all us younger cousins, because we don't know any better. We had this big brunch with champagne, and just like last year from my brother's graduation, my mom gave her dad, my grandfather, sparkling apple juice instead of champagne because she didn't want him to get drunk and make a scene. And he said the same thing he said last year. This is good champagne. I don't think he knew the difference because he's a beer drinker, sometimes whiskey. Around 12:30, brunch was over. All the cousins drove all the cars because the adults were still a little too drunk to drive to the graduation. Except for my dad, because he was too busy videotaping everyone with a camera he rented from the video store. Why buy a camera when you only need it 3 times a year? So, my sister, brother, dad, mom, and I each had to go into a different car to make sure nobody got lost. I went with all my Ohio cousins who promptly pulled out a joint and passed it around. I didn't smoke any of it because I wasn't in the mood, and they said what they always say. Charlie, you're such a pussy. So, all the cars pulled into the parking lot and we all got out, and my sister yelled at my cousin Mike for rolling down the window while he was driving and messing up her hair. I was smoking a cigarette, was his reply. Couldn't you wait 10 minutes? Was my sister's. But it was a great song, was his final word. So, as my dad was getting the video camera out of the trunk, and my brother was talking to some of the graduating girls who were a year older and looking good, my sister went for my mom to get my mom's purse. The great thing about my mom's purse is that no matter what you need at any given moment, she has it. When I was little, I used to call it the first aid kit, because that's all we needed back then. I still can't figure out how she does it. After primping, my sister followed the trail of graduation caps to the field, and we all found our way to the bleachers. I sat in between my mom and brother since my dad was off getting a better camera angle, and my mom kept shushing my grandfather who kept talking about how many black people were in the school. When she couldn't stop him, she mentioned my story about the TV news sportsman talking about my brother. This made my grandfather call my brother over to talk about it. This was smart on my mom's part, because my brother is the only person who can get my grandfather to stop making a scene, because he's really direct about it. After the story, this is what happened.
Jesus, look at these bleachers, how many colored people!
My brother cut him off.
Okay, Grandpa, here's the deal. If you embarrass us one more time, I'm going to drive you back to the nursing home and you'll never see your granddaughter give a speech.
My brother is real tough.
But then you won't see the speech either, big shot.
My grandfather's real tough too.
Yeah, but my dad is videotaping it and I can arrange it so I get to see the tape and you don't. Can't I?
My grandfather has a really weird smile. Especially when someone else wins. He didn't say anything more about it. He just started talking about football and didn't even mention anything about my brother playing on a team with black kids. I can't tell you how bad it was last year since my brother was on the field graduating instead of up in the bleachers making my grandfather stop. While they were talking football, I kept looking for Patrick and Sam, but all I saw were those graduation caps in the distance. When the music started, the caps started marching toward the folding chairs set up on the field. That's when I finally saw Sam walking behind Patrick. I was so relieved. I couldn't really tell if she was happy or sad, but it was enough just to see her and know that she was there. When all the kids got in the chairs, the music stopped, and Mr. Small got up and gave a speech about what a wonderful class this was. He mentioned some of the achievements the school had made, and he emphasized how much they needed support at the Community Day bake sale to start a new computer lab. Then, he introduced the class president, who gave a speech. I don't know what class presidents do, but the girl gave a very good speech. Then, it was time for the 5 top honor students to give a speech. That's the tradition in the school. My sister was second in her class, so she gave the 4th speech. The valedictorian is always last. Then, Mr. Small and the vice principal, whom Patrick swears is gay, hand out the diplomas. The 3 speeches were very similar. They all had quotes from pop songs that had something to do with the future. And all through the speeches, I could see my mother's hands. She was gripping them tighter and tighter together. When they announced my sister's name, my mom uncoiled into applause. It was really great watching my sister get on the podium, because my brother was something like 223rd in his class and consequently didn't get to give a speech. And maybe I'm biased, but when my sister quoted a pop song and talked about the future, it seemed great. I looked over at my brother, and he looked over at me, and we both smiled. Then we looked at my mother, and she was crying real soft and messy, so my brother and I each took one of her hands. She looked at us and smiled and cried harder. Then, we both rested our heads on her shoulders like a sideways hug, which made her cry even harder. Or maybe it let her cry even harder. I'm not sure which. But she gave our hands a little squeeze and said, "My boys," real soft, and went back to crying. I love my mom so much. I don't care if that's corny to say. I think on my next birthday, I'm going to buy her a present. I think that should be the tradition. The kid gets gifts from everybody, and he buys one present for his mom since she was there too. I think that would be nice. When my sister finished her speech, we all clapped and yelled, but nobody clapped or yelled louder than my grandfather. Nobody. I don't remember what the valedictorian said, except that she quoted Henry David Thoreau instead of a pop song. Then, Mr. Small got up on the stage and asked everyone to refrain from applause until all the names were read and all the diplomas were handed out. I should mention that this didn't work last year either. So, I saw my sister get her diploma and my mother cry again. And then I saw Mary Elizabeth, and I saw Alice, and I saw Patrick, and I saw Sam. It was a great day. Even when I saw Brad, it seemed okay. We all met my sister in the parking lot, and the first one to hug her was my grandfather. He really is a proud man in his way. Everyone said how much they loved my sister's speech, even if they didn't. Then, we all saw my father walking across the parking lot holding the video camera above his head triumphantly. I don't think anybody hugged my sister longer than my dad. I looked around for Sam and Patrick, but I couldn't find them anywhere. On the way home for the party, my Ohio cousins lit up another joint. This time, I took a hit, but they still called me a pussy. I don't know why. Maybe that's just what Ohio cousins do. That, and tell jokes. What has 32 legs and 1 tooth? What? We all asked. A West Virginia unemployment line. Things like that. When we got home, my Ohio cousins went straight for the bar, because graduations seemed to be the one occasion where anyone can drink. At least it was like that last year and this year. I wonder what my graduation will be like. It seems very far away. So, My sister spent the first hour of the party opening up all the gifts, and her smile grew with each check, sweater, or $50 bill. Nobody in our family is rich, but it seems like everybody saves up just enough for these kind of events, and we all pretend we're rich for a day. The only people who didn't get my sister money or a sweater were my brother and I. My brother promised to take her out one day to shop for college things like soap, which he would pay for, and I bought her a little house that was hand-carved out of stone and painted in England. I told her I wanted to give her something that makes her feel like she's at home even after she goes away. My sister actually kissed my cheek for that. But the best part of the party happened when my mother came to me and said I had a phone call. I went to the phone. Hello? Charlie? Sam! When are you coming over? She asked. Now! I said. Then my father, who was drinking a whiskey sour, growled, You're not going anywhere until your relatives leave, you hear me? Sam, I have to wait for my relatives to leave, I said. Okay, we'll be here until 7, then we'll call you from wherever we are. Sam really sounded happy. Okay, Sam, congratulations! Thanks, Charlie. Bye. Bye. I hung up the phone. I swear to you, I thought my relatives would never leave. Every story they told, every pig in a blanket they ate, every photograph they looked at, and every time I heard, when you were this high, with the appropriate gesture, it was like the clock stopped. It's not that I minded the stories, because I didn't, and the pigs in the blankets were quite good, but I wanted to see Sam. At about 9:30, everyone was stuffed and sober. At 9:45, the hugs were over. At 9:50, the driveway was clear. My father gave me $20 and the keys to his car, saying, Thanks for sticking around. It meant a lot to me and the family. He was tipsy, but meant it just the same. Sam had told me they were going to a dance club downtown, so I loaded everyone's gifts in my trunk and climbed in the car and drove away. There's something about that tunnel that leads to downtown. It's glorious at night. Just glorious. You start on one side of the mountain, and it's dark, and the radio is loud. As you enter the tunnel, the wind gets sucked away, and you squint from the lights overhead. When you adjust to the lights, you can see the other side in the distance just as the sound of the radio fades to nothing, because the waves just can't reach. Then, you're in the middle of the tunnel, and everything becomes a calm dream. As you see the opening get closer, you just can't get there fast enough. And finally, just when you think you'll never get there, you see the opening right in front of you. And the radio comes back even louder than you remember it, and the wind is waiting, and you fly out of the tunnel onto the bridge, and there it is, the city. A million lights and buildings, and everything seems as exciting as the first time you saw it. It really is a grand entrance. After about half an hour looking around the dance club, I finally saw Mary Elizabeth with Peter. They were both drinking scotch and sodas, which Peter bought since he is older and had his hand stamped. I congratulated Mary Elizabeth and asked where everybody was. She told me that Alice was getting high in the ladies' room, and Sam and Patrick were on the floor dancing. She said to just have a seat until they come back because she didn't know where they were specifically. So I sat down and listened to Peter argue with Mary Elizabeth about the Democratic candidates. Again, the clock seemed to stop. I wanted to see Sam that badly. After about 3 songs, Sam and Patrick came back completely coated in sweat. Charlie! I stood up, and we all hugged like we hadn't seen each other in months. Considering everything that happened, I guess that makes sense. After we let go, Patrick lay on top of Peter and Mary Elizabeth like they were a sofa. Then, he took Mary Elizabeth's drink out of her hand and drank it. Hey, asshole, was her response. I think he was drunk, even though he hasn't been drinking lately. But Patrick does that stuff sober, so it's hard to tell. That's when Sam grabbed my hand. I love this song! She led me to the dance floor, and she started dancing, and I started dancing, It was a fast song, so I wasn't very good, but she didn't seem to mind. We were just dancing, and that was enough. The song ended, and then a slow one came on. She looked at me. I looked at her. Then she took my hands and pulled me in to dance slow. I don't know how to dance slow very well either, but I do know how to sway. Her whisper smelled like cranberry juice and vodka. I looked for you in the parking lot today. I hoped mine still smelled like toothpaste. I was looking for you too. Then, we were quiet for the rest of the song. She held me a little closer. I held her a little closer, and we kept dancing. It was the one time all day that I really wanted the clock to stop and just be there for a long time. After the dance club, we went back to Peter's apartment and I gave everyone their graduation presents. I gave Alice a film book about Night of the Living Dead, which she liked, and I gave Mary Elizabeth a copy of My Life as a Dog on videotape with the subtitles in it, which she loved. Then, I gave Patrick and Sam their presents. I even wrapped them up special. I used the Sunday funny papers because they are in color. Patrick tore through his. Sam didn't rip any of the paper. She just plucked off the tape. And they looked at what was inside each box. I gave Patrick On the Road, Naked Lunch, The Stranger, This Side of Paradise, Peter Pan, and A Separate Piece. I gave Sam To Kill a Mockingbird, The Catcher in the Rye, The Great Gatsby, Hamlet, Walden, and The Fountainhead. Under the books was a card that I wrote using the typewriter Sam bought me. The card said that these were my copies of all my favorite books, and I wanted Sam and Patrick to have them because they were my two favorite people in the whole world. When they both looked up from reading, they were quiet. Nobody smiled or cried or did anything. We were just open, looking at each other. They knew I meant the cards I wrote, and I knew I meant a lot to them.
"What do the cards say?"
Mary Elizabeth asked. "Do you mind, Charlie?" Patrick asked. I shook my head no, and they each read their cards while I went to fill up my coffee cup with red wine. When I came back, they all looked at me, and I said, "I'm going to miss you all very much. I hope you have a great time at college." And then I started crying, because it suddenly hit me that they were all leaving. I think Peter thinks I'm a little strange. So Sam stood up and took me into the kitchen, telling me on the way there that it was okay. When we got to the kitchen, I was a little more calm. Sam said, "You know I'm leaving in a week, Charlie." "Yeah, I know. Don't start crying again." "Okay." "I want you to listen."
"Okay."
"I'm really scared to be alone at college."
"You are?"
I asked. I never really thought of that before. "Just like you're really scared to be alone here."
"Okay," I nodded.
"So I'll make you a deal. When things get to be too much at college, I'll call you. And when things get to be too much here, you call me."
"Could we write letters back and forth?"
"Of course," she said. Then I started crying again. I really am a roller coaster sometimes, but Sam was patient. "Charlie, I'm going to be back at the end of the summer, but before we think about that, let's just enjoy this last week together, all of us, okay?" I nodded and calmed down. We spent the rest of the night just drinking and listening to music like we always did, but this time, it was at Peter's, and it was better than Craig's, actually, because Peter has a better music collection. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning when it suddenly occurred to me.
"Oh my God," I said.
"What's wrong, Charlie?"
"Tomorrow's a school day."
I don't think I could have made them laugh harder. Peter took me into the kitchen to make coffee so I could sober up to drive home. I had about 8 cups in a row and was ready to drive in about 20 minutes.
The problem was, by the time I got home, I was so awake from the coffee I couldn't fall asleep. By the time I got to school, I felt like dying. Luckily, all the finals were over, and all we did all day was watch film strips. I don't think I ever slept better. I was glad, too, because school really is lonely without them. Today was different because I didn't sleep, and I didn't get to see Sam or Patrick last night because they were having a special dinner out with their parents, and my brother was on a date with one of the girls who was looking good at graduation. My sister was busy with her boyfriend, and my mom and dad were still tired from the graduation party. Today, pretty much every teacher just let the kids sit around and talk after we handed in our textbooks. I honestly didn't know anybody except maybe for Susan, but after that time in the hallway, she's avoided me more than ever. So I didn't really talk. The only good class was Bill's, because I got to talk to Bill. It was hard saying goodbye to him after class was over, but he said that it wasn't goodbye. I could call him any time over the summer if I wanted to talk or borrow books, and that made me feel a little better. This one kid with crooked teeth named Leonard called me a teacher's pet in the hallway after Bill's class. But I didn't mind because I think he missed the point somewhere. I ate lunch outside on a bench where we all used to smoke. After I ate my ho-ho, I lit up a cigarette, and I was kind of hoping someone would ask me for one, but no one did. When the last class was over, everyone was cheering and making plans with each other for the summer. And everyone was clearing out their lockers by throwing their old papers and notes and books on the hallway floor. When I got to my locker, I saw this skinny kid who had the locker next to me all year. I had never really talked to him before. I cleared my throat and said, "Hey, my name is Charlie." All he said was, "I know." Then, he closed his locker door and walked away. So, I just opened my locker, put all my old papers and things in my backpack, and walked over to the debris of books and papers and notes in the hallway to the parking lot outside. Then, I got on the bus. Then, I wrote this letter to you. I'm actually really glad that the school year is over. I want to spend a lot of time with everyone before they leave, especially Sam. By the way, I ended up getting straight A's this whole year. My mother was very proud and put my report card on the refrigerator. Love always, Charlie. June 22nd, 1992. Dear friend, the night before Sam was going to leave made the whole week a blur. Sam was frantic because not only did she need to spend time with us, but she had to get ready to go. Buying things, packing things, things like that. Every night, we would all get together after Sam had just said goodbye to some uncle or had another lunch with her mom or had done more shopping for school things. She was scared, and it wasn't until she had a sip of whatever we were drinking or a hit off of whatever we were smoking that she would calm down and be the same Sam. The one thing that really helped Sam through her week was her lunch with Craig. She said she wanted to see him to have some kind of closure. And I guess she was lucky enough to get it because Craig was nice enough to tell her that she was right to break up with him. And that she was a special person. And that he was sorry and wished her well. It's strange the times people choose to be generous. The best part was that Sam said she didn't ask him about the girls he might be dating, even though she wanted to know. She wasn't bitter. She was sad, though. But it was a hopeful kind of sad. The kind of sad that just takes time. On the night before she left, we were all there at Sam and Patrick's house. Bob, Alice, Mary Elizabeth, without Peter, and I. We just sat on the rug in the games room remembering things. Remember the show where Patrick did this, or remember when Bob did this, or Charlie, or Mary Elizabeth, or Alice, or Sam. The inside jokes weren't jokes anymore. They become stories. Nobody brought up the bad names or the bad times, and nobody felt sad as long as we could postpone tomorrow with more nostalgia. After a while, Mary Elizabeth and Bob and Alice left, saying they would be back in the morning to see Sam off. So it was just me, Patrick, and Sam, just sitting there, not saying much, until we started our own Remember When.
Remember when Charlie first came to us at the football game, and remember when Charlie let the air out of Dave's tires at the homecoming dance, and remember the poem and the mixtape, and Punk Rocky in Color, and remember when we all felt infinite? After I said that, we all got quiet and sad. In the silence, I remembered this one time that I never told anybody about. The time we were walking, just the three of us, and I was in the middle. I don't remember where we were walking to or where we were walking from. I don't even remember the season. I just remember walking between them and feeling for the first time that I belonged somewhere. Finally, Patrick stood up. "I'm tired, guys. Good night." Then he messed up our hair and went up to his room. Sam turned to me. "Charlie, I have to pack up some things. Would you stay with me for a while?" I nodded, and we went upstairs. As we entered her room, I noticed how different it looked from the night Sam kissed me. The pictures were down, and the dressers were empty, and everything was in a big pile on the bed. I said to myself that I would not cry no matter what, because I didn't want to make Sam feel any more panicked than she already was. So I just watched her pack, and I tried to notice as many details as I possibly could. Her long hair and her thin wrists, and her green eyes. I wanted to remember everything, especially the sound of her voice. Sam talked about a lot of things, trying to keep herself distracted. She talked about what a long drive they had tomorrow, and how her parents had rented a van. She wondered what her classes would be like, and what her eventual major would be. She said she didn't want to join a sorority, but was looking forward to the football games. She was just getting more and more sad. Finally, she turned around. "Why didn't you ask me out when the whole Craig thing happened?" I just sat there. I didn't know what to say. She said it soft. "Charlie, after that thing with Mary Elizabeth at the party and us dancing at the club and everything, I didn't know what to say. Honestly, I was lost." "Okay, Charlie, I'll make this easy. When that whole thing with Craig happened, what did you think?" She really wanted to know. I said, "Well, I thought a lot of things. But mostly, I thought that your being sad was much more important to me than Craig not being your boyfriend anymore. And if it meant that I would never get to think of you that way, as long as you were happy, it was okay. That's when I realized that I really loved you." She sat down on the floor with me. She spoke quiet. "Charlie, don't you get it? I can't feel that. It's sweet and everything, but it's like you're not even there sometimes. It's great that you can listen and be a shoulder to someone. But what about when someone doesn't need a shoulder? What if they need the arms or something like that? You can't just sit there and put everybody's lives ahead of yours and think that counts as love. You just can't. You have to do things." "Like what?" I asked. My mouth was dry. "I don't know. Like, take their hands when the slow song comes up for a change. Or be the one who asks someone for a date. Or tell people what you need or what you want. Like, on the dance floor. Did you want to kiss me?"
"Yeah," I said.
"Then why didn't you?"
she asked real serious.
"Because I didn't think you wanted me to."
"Why did you think that?"
"Because of what you said."
"What I said 9 months ago? When I told you not to think of me that way?"
I nodded.
"Charlie, I also told you not to tell Mary Elizabeth she was pretty, and to ask her a lot of questions, and not interrupt her. Now she's with a guy who does the exact opposite, and it works because that's who Peter really is. He's being himself, and he does things."
"But I didn't like Mary Elizabeth."
"Charlie, you're missing the point. The point is that I don't think you would have acted different even if you did like Mary Elizabeth. It's like, you can come to Patrick's rescue and hurt two guys that are trying to hurt him, But what about when Patrick's hurting himself? Like when you guys went to that park? Or when he was kissing you? Did you want him to kiss you?
I shook my head no.
So why did you let him?
I was just trying to be a friend, I said.
But you weren't, Charlie. At those times, you weren't being his friend at all, because you weren't honest with him.
I sat there very still. I looked at the floor. I didn't say anything. Very uncomfortable.
Charlie, I told you not to think of me that way 9 months ago, because of what I'm saying now. Not because of Craig. Not because I didn't think you were great. It's just that I don't want to be somebody's crush. If someone likes me, I want them to like the real me, not what they think I am. And I don't want them to carry it around inside. I want them to show me so I can feel it, too. I want them to be able to do whatever they want around me. And if they do something I don't like, I'll tell them.
She was starting to cry a little, but she wasn't sad.
You know, I blamed Craig for not letting me do things. You know how stupid I feel about that now? Maybe he didn't really encourage me to do things, but he didn't prevent me from doing them either. But after a while, I didn't do things because I didn't want him to think different about me. But the thing is, I wasn't being honest. So why would I care whether or not he loved me when he didn't really even know me?
I looked up at her. She had stopped crying.
So, tomorrow I'm leaving. And I'm not going to let that happen again with anyone else. I am going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be who I really am. And I'm going to figure out what that is. But right now, I'm here with you. And I want to know where you are, what you need, and what you want to do.
She waited patiently for my answer, but after everything she said, I figured that I should just do what I wanted to do, not think about it, not say it out loud. And if she didn't like it, then she could just say so, and we could go back to packing. So, I kissed her, and she kissed me back, and we laid down on the floor and kept kissing, and it was soft, and we made quiet noises and kept silent and still. We went over to the bed and lay down on all the things that weren't put in suitcases, and we touched each other from the waist up over our clothes, and then under our clothes, and then without clothes. And it was so beautiful. She was so beautiful. She took my hand and slid it under her pants, and I touched her, and I just couldn't believe it. It was like everything made sense. Until she moved her hand under my pants and she touched me. That's when I stopped her.
What's wrong? She asked. Did that hurt?
I shook my head. It felt good, actually. I didn't know what was wrong.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, don't be sorry, I said.
But I feel bad, she said.
Please don't feel bad. It was very nice, I said. I was starting to get really upset.
You're not ready?
She asked. I nodded. But that wasn't it. I didn't know what it was.
It's okay that you're not ready, she said.
She was being really nice to me, but I was just feeling so bad.
Charlie, do you want to go home?
She asked. I guess I nodded because she helped me get dressed. And then she put on her shirt, and I wanted to kick myself for being such a baby, because I loved Sam, and we were together, and I was ruining it, just terrible. I felt so terrible. She took me outside.
Do you need a ride?
She asked. I had my father's car. I wasn't drunk. She looked really worried.
No, thanks. Charlie, I'm not going to let you drive like this.
I'm sorry, I'll walk then, I said.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving you home.
She went to another room to get the car keys. I just stood in the entry hall. I felt like I wanted to die.
You're white as a sheet, Charlie. Do you need some water?
No. I don't know. I started to cry really hard.